Thank you for that. We are going to get back in our series. We've had special speakers the last few weeks in our discipleship book and continue on. Of course, a couple things upcoming I'm excited about. The Walkers will be with us the whole weekend. I think it's April 2nd and 3rd, the first weekend of April. And Saturday we'll run the bus ministry, and they'll have the whole cowboy thing outside here. And then we'll do it on Sunday for our church folks. And so I encourage you, we'll be asking for a little bit of help here and there, some candy. We'll have a few booths and so forth and volunteers to help a little bit with that. So I hope you'll get behind that. That will be a great time. And that'll be the start of our spring program. And we're looking forward to that. We're having great crowds on Sunday, and we're looking forward to have better crowds over the course of the spring program. And so I hope you get behind that. We are in the lesson about the Bible. I think it's chapter number 2 in the book there, if you're following along with the book, about the Bible, and it's called Knowing Truth. Of course, when we went through our first book on being a disciple, we talked about the importance of having a daily time with God, spending time with the Lord on a daily, regular basis. Of course, one of the components of that is prayer, and we'll talk about prayer in a few weeks, but another one of those is reading the Bible. It's very important that we have a Bible we can trust, and we went through some of that a few weeks ago. You know, if you have a foundation of trusting the Word of God, and you're really in on the Word of God, it's not hard for you to commit your life to it, to obey it. You know, far too many Christians are just bumper sticker Christians. You have a bumper sticker, you have a nice Bible with a little Bible covered, it might have a fish on it, it might have some cute little saying, and I'm not against fish, I'm not against cute little sayings, although I'm not going to wear it, but you know, there's more to it than that. It's more than just saying something, it's actually believing it enough and trusting it enough and having enough faith in what God is saying to actually do what he says. Faith always leads to action. If you have faith, and if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, that's the great chapter on faith. It's like by faith, and it tells you what they did. Because they had a trust in God, it was so rock solid that trust moved them naturally to action in their life. And so that will happen if we have a trust in the Word of God. A Christian's relationship with his Bible will determine to a great extent his relationship with God and what kind of Christian he will be. Look, what kind of if you're married today, what kind of communication do you have with your spouse? By the way, throwing stuff at each other is not communication. Okay? Now you need to duck, of course. But if there's no communication between the two, the relationship's not very good. You're not going to have a close relationship. You say, well, in our marriage, we don't talk to each other, and that works for us. Okay, we'll discuss that issue at another time. There's got to be communication. If we're not letting God communicate to us through his word, we're not going to have a relationship with him. How could we even know what he wants in our life? How could he ever speak to us about things in our life that he wants us to work on, that he wants to make better, if we're not in the word of God? And just to be real honest with you, if you're not in the Word of God, there's no way you're the kind of Christian God wants you to be. Not going to happen. You might have the outward trappings of a Christian. You might, in your mind, look like a Christian, be doing Christian things. But if you don't have that relationship with God, if you're not in His Word, you have a skeleton of a relationship. It's bones without any flesh, and eventually the skeleton's going to fall apart. That is why the Word of God is so important. Why the Bible is so important for growth. We must learn and spend time. So let's look and see some things. What can the Bible do for us? What can the Bible do for us? You see, you got to understand, God gave us the Bible to reveal himself to mankind. Think about it. If we didn't have a Bible, we would be left to guess for ourselves, or worse yet, hear from others what they think God is trying to tell to us. And that's just a rabbit hole of trouble. You ever hear these spiritual people? God spoke to me. Here's a good answer. What verse did he speak to you through? Well, no, you know, I had this dream. Well, my wife had just, not to dump on her, she had a dream last night. She said that she was driving in the car with me and her and two of the kids, and she drove over a cliff. What is God trying to teach her in that dream? And I looked at her and I said, that's why you don't drive when I'm in the car. You want to kill yourself? Have a good time. If I'm going to kill us, it'll be me. But we have dreams. Look, that's not God. Yeah. You know, I want to hear this. God told me that you're supposed to do this. Well, what verse did he use? We can teach anything we want. Recently, there was a documentary. I heard someone talking about it. And so my wife and I actually saw it about the Heaven's Gate cult. How many of you remember them? The sneakers and the purple. And they didn't drink Kool-Aid. I think they ate pudding. What's interesting, when we started a church at Monterey Park, we had a couple come visit our church in Monterey Park, and they told us in the early days they visited a service of these people. And they were telling us about it. It was pretty creepy. How did they suck those people into that kind of stuff? Because he was the source of truth. We have to have a source of truth somewhere. And the source of truth for us is the Bible. People can get up and say all kinds of stuff. And if it's not backed up by Scripture, you know what it is? It's just stuff. We need the Word of God. It's very important. Within the pages of the Bible, we find the answer to all of the important questions of life. Everybody has their philosophies. Everybody has their ideas. Everybody will give you your opinion. In our country, opinion has become God. Well, I think I'm a guy. No, you're a girl, if you were born a girl, right? The gender reveal parties, everything should be purple now. Is that what happens when you mix blue and pink together, you get purple? You know, you have to wait till they're 18 to have a gender reveal. That's foolishness. We are so cut away from the Word of God, it's not even funny. And when you get away from the Word of God, when you get away from common sense, you come up with that nonsense, and you have people in teaching in our colleges, and by the way, teaching in public schools. Well, you know, I'm sending my kid to that school because, you know, it's just, they're not learning how to read and write. They're learning that they, if they're a boy, they might be a girl. If they're a girl, they might be a boy. If they're a boy, they might like boys. And if they're a girl, they might like girls. It's just a bunch of nonsense because there is no source of truth anymore. Well, I'm here to tell you there is a source of truth. It's God's Word. It's not debatable. You can debate it, but it's not debatable, and it's not changeable. Someone has said you can't break God's law. You can't break his words. You can only break yourself against them. And that's what we're doing in our society. Isn't that the truth? If you want to find the answers to all of life's questions, you need to run to the Bible. There was a poll many years ago in the USA Today. I wouldn't read it, but they asked the people, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? The answer is, what is my purpose? Disattached from God, you have no purpose in life. You may chase things. You may chase success. You may chase money. You may chase a cause. And you might attain it. But you're going to find out that it's empty without the Lord. It's empty without any meaning in life. There has to be something better. So as a Christian, we find in the Bible everything we need to help us to be the child of God that God wants us to be. So what are some specifics that the Word of God can do for us? If you're following along in the book, if you don't have it, that's fine. It is the foundation of my life. The foundation of our life. How many of you have ever heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? It was built in the 1100s. And it was built on, they didn't have all the structural knowledge or whatever that we have now in engineering. And it was built on a faulty foundation, and it leans. In fact, several men, probably 20 years ago, it was to the point where it was leaning, starting to lean so much, they felt it might fall over. And they had to actually do some engineering and kind of prop it up a little bit, but it still leans. It's on a faulty foundation. And if you're on a faulty foundation, that's kind of how things work. You can build whatever you want, and you can make it as tall as you want. You can make it as elaborate you want, but it's going to lean. It's going to be something wrong with it. And it's not going to be anything you see on the outside. The problem isn't the stuff on the outside. The stuff on the outside is just a visual of the real problem, which is the stuff you can't see. It's the foundation. And the Word of God should be the foundation of our life. Christian life is determined by your foundation. You say, well, Jesus is our foundation. He is our foundation. And where do we find out the truth about Jesus Christ? We find it in the Word of God. We find that relationship with Him in the Word of God. However you build your foundation will determine the strength of anything that's in your life. You can build your marriage on all kinds of things, but if you don't have the Bible as your foundation, it's going to be a problem. You can build your family. You can build your life. You name it. And if you're doing it apart from a strong foundation to God and His Word, it's dubious at best. The Bible likens building your spiritual life's foundation on a rock, and the Christian who doesn't build, that we should build on the rock, and the one who does not build his life in obedience to the Word of God is building it on sand. The houses can look identical. They're going to look great. But what does it tell us in those verses, which we'll come to in a minute? Storm's coming. And when the storms comes, it's going to reveal which house is really built deep, is really founded and grounded to something that is unmovable. So what are you building your life upon? Ask yourself some questions. What's important to you? Some people, the things of this world are so much more important to them than God. I mean, they'll come to church, and then football season shows up, and their favorite team's playing, and they can't come to the services. Something's going on, and they won't show up. I mentioned before, years ago when I had the singles class, I had a guy, and he was a new guy, and he started coming, and after a Sunday, he came up to me, he shook my hand, he goes, I won't be seeing you for several months. I'm like, well, you going out of town? He goes, nope, soccer league's starting, and I'm in soccer. Well, I guess I know what's important to him. And people can yell and scream all they want that God's important to them and everything's important to them, but what you value, what you do, and what's important to you really shows me what you value. Yes, sir. Yes. You can answer a lot of questions by the foundation. If your foundation is the Lord, you'll know your purpose, you'll know how you're supposed to live, you'll know what you're supposed to believe, and you will not have a problem. As I mentioned, the foundation is important because storms will come. They're coming. Do you know storms come to Christians and non-Christians alike? Storms come to godly, righteous, trying to do all they can for God Christians. And it comes to Christians who are Christians nominally and just barely hanging on. That's not an issue. I don't know how many times a storm has come and a problem will come. And I've heard this way too many times over the years. You know, I have this going on in my life, and once I get this settled, I'll come back to church. It's like, that's like saying, I'm sick, then I'll go to the doctor after I'm well. I need open heart surgery, and I'll go to the doctor after my heart is healed. No, you better get there now. But it just shows where their foundation is built. Everybody's going to have problems in life. The question is not whether you will face a storm. The question is when. We cannot determine what kind of storms come our way. Never going to happen. But we can only determine what kind of foundation we will choose to build to help us withstand them. It's coming. If you have the book, you can look inside, but look in your Bibles if you want. In Luke chapter number 6, verse 47, very, 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 very familiar verses. Jesus said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. You know, there's always a catch, isn't there? It's like, I'm hearing it. Okay, let's go next step. And doeth them. I will show you to whom he is like. Okay, so this person is not just interested in hearing the Word of God taught or hearing the Word of God as he reads it each day. They want to do it. So Jesus says, if that's you, here's who you're like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the storm beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Let me just say this. You are going to have problems in your life. And by the way, and I'm not trying to take away, but it's going to bother us a little bit. But you know what? Shaken there is like shaken to where it changes you. Shaken to where, you see the next one, we're to the house and the sand, it's going to fall. But it doesn't fall if you have the right foundation. Right. Yeah, there might be times of confusion. How many of you have ever had a problem and you're confused about it? How many of you have ever had some trials or something, and you go to God and like, okay, time out. I don't get this. What's going on? There's been a couple times in my life, I won't mention them now, I have in the past, where I seriously questioned God about something. And I one time in Florida, it was something that I didn't get, that it looked like God worked everything out, and it fell through, and we were living in an apartment, we were struggling, and I went out, and I'm like, okay, Lord, now time out. This isn't right. I don't suggest you pray like that, by the way. And I'm like, let me give you all the reasons why you should have done what I wanted. He wasn't interested in my reasons. And I'm like, I mean, it was like, this thing worked out every step. God's in it. He wasn't in it. And after about 30 or 40 minutes of walking, he kind of corrected my view. Okay? It bothered me, but it's like, it's not going to be destructive. It's not going to get us to the point where we walk away from God. And I get it. Sometimes, and I'm not belittling when we go through problems, because there are some saints that have went through some serious problems. But you know what's a blessing? You see a saint that goes through something like that, and you just see their spirit. And it's like, you know, my problems aren't bad at all. You know, we're whining because air conditioning in our car went out. We're martyrs for the faith. Okay, the air conditioning didn't come on in the church service. Now, the air conditioning works here. I'm an air conditioning guy. Okay, that would be a crisis of faith for me. But we see someone else, and it's like, I'm not going through anything. And look at how they stand for God. That didn't happen after the problem, per se. It happened, that foundation was built before the problem. The problem just revealed that they did build the structure on the right foundation. And that's what we're striving for. Verse 49, here's the opposite. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the rock, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. By the way, foundations take time. Okay, those of us that have been around, how many of you remember helping building the foundations and the footings for this building? Okay, I almost seriously lost my salvation doing that. It was a lot of work, it took a lot of time, and there were some inspectors I did not like. I remember one, I think it was one, we were out here on a Tuesday, and we had poured the major pad, and we were pouring the footing for the stairs down here. And it was a little bit moist, and we got in there, and we dug it out, and we were trying to get it done because get the rebar in there and get it all set so that the inspector would come and pass it, because it was a time of the year we were concerned rain was going to come. And we were out here until late at night. I was in that hole digging, and I'm like, this is done. Doing the rebar, say, did you know how to do that before we started? No. Yeah. If the building ever goes down, you'll know why. Yeah. And we got done. It's like, that's over. That was a hassle. The inspector came the next day. He noticed, I think, one little thing wrong. And he said, no, you can't do it, that little thing. All he had to do was say, just fix it real quick. He says, I'll come back tomorrow. It rained that night. It rained bad. And I was not happy the next time I'm out there in a hole of water that deep redoing all the rebar, digging out all the dirt. I mean, it was days. But you know why they make you work so hard on those footings and those foundations? You know why? Because the structure depends on it, especially in California where you have earthquakes. And so here's a guy, it's just easier. Let me just build a house. I won't be committed to God. I'll just come to church. I'll buy a Bible. I might even throw some money in the offering plate every now and then. But there's no foundation. You want the quick route. And then a storm comes, and we don't see you ever again. Yeah. In fact, the only way we'll ever see you is if the FBI finds you. Yeah. Why? You didn't have a foundation. And then you're all confused about what's going on. We had a guy years ago, he came to church here, and he got caught up in these health and wealth preachers. And I was visiting, he started coming here, and he still likes some of them, and he's visiting, and we're trying to help him with that. And I'm like, that's just nonsense. And he lost his job. And he's like, don't worry, God's going to take care of me. Well, apparently God didn't get the memo. He lost his apartment. He had to move somewhere else. And I went and visit him. He goes, my faith is shaken because God didn't do what I want him to do. And I'm like, well, of course it is, because you didn't build it on anything. You're building it on some guy on television. You're not building it on the Bible. So it's very important. The foundation is the word of God only as we obey it. Let's look at the next one. It has the power to transform our life. You see, once we receive Christ as our Savior, God is not done with us. God has an ultimate plan for us. Now, what is the predetermined thing that God has that he mentions in the Bible? That we become what? Conformed to the image of Christ. That's his predetermined location. A predestination is not God determining who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Once we're saved, God had a predetermined destination for it. He wants to be like Jesus Christ, conformed to the image of his Son. That's what he really wants for us. And so in part of God's plan, if God's plan in our life is ever going to happen, he wants to change us. So we can't come into Christianity and say, I got Jesus, and I'm gonna serve God, but I'm gonna serve in my own way. I'm gonna live for God, but I'm gonna live for God in my own way. It doesn't work. We have to get into the scripture and find out what God wants for us and find out what God wants to do in my life. You see, we can't do anything for God until God does something for us. God works on us. He is more concerned, and don't take this wrong, he's more concerned in us than what we do. Because if we are right, we'll do the things that are right. If we are right, we'll serve him right, and we'll do something for him because he'll be doing it through us. But he can't do it if we're not changing and becoming all that he wants us to be. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he knew we'd be saved. In his foreknowledge, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now that's the opposite of what Romans tells us, right? Romans tells us don't be conformed to what? The world. That means pressed into the mold to become like the world is. But there is a mold he does want us to be conformed to. Jesus Christ. Well, I just don't believe you go to church and you've conformed to all these things. Yeah, I am. I'm trying to conform to Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. We only went through that whole thing on separation. It's conforming to the Word of God, because if I conform to the Word of God, the more my life is, the closer my life gets to the Word of God, the closer I am to being like Jesus Christ. It's not putting on a little feminine a bracelet that says WWJD. What would Jesus do? Most people don't even know what Jesus said. Okay? It's finding out what he said in the Bible and actually doing it in our life. I'm pretty sure if we're supposed to be conformed to his Son, I'm pretty sure none of us have ever been confused for Jesus Christ. No. And that's okay. We're progressing as far as we can get before our life is over. How does it happen? How does he conform us to be what he wants us to be more like his Son? The way that takes place is by the power of the Spirit of God using the Word of God. And you're right. Some people, well, you know, it's impossible to live for Christ. In the flesh, obviously. That doesn't absolve us of our responsibility to try to live for Christ. That's lame. People use it. You know, I'm not trying because I can't. Jesus is going to do it through me. No, if you don't put any effort in, Jesus got nothing to use. Okay, he's just going to magically make you live for him? That's a fairy tale. But as we try, we're not going to be successful unless we allow the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to change us. That's how it works. What God wants us to become, we see as we look into the Bible, what God wants us to become or change to. And as we commit to obeying the Scripture, the Spirit of God can change us to become what we're reading in the Bible. That's basically what he's saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, but we, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we see God's glory, and he gives an example there of Moses going to the mountain. He saw the Lord, and the glory transformed to his face. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Changed is a word, transformed. Okay? What happens? As we with open heart earnestly look into the Word of God, wanting the Spirit to change us and wanting to do what it says, the Spirit of God can help us to follow what the Bible says. Helps us to be changed in what we're seeing in the Bible. You look at any problem you have, if you'll be close to God and be in His Word and allow the Spirit to work in your life, God can change you. God can change you. You look at the fruit of the Spirit. That's a tough list. It's like all attitude stuff, but it's like stuff I don't want to do. I don't want to be long-suffering, right? Who wants to be long-suffering? You know, you look at someone else and just say, quit being a knucklehead and do the right thing. I don't want to be patient. I don't have time for that. These are all things I don't want to be gentle. That sounds feminine. Yeah. Meek? I'm out. Joy? I'll take that. That's okay. That's a good one. But we look at these things and it's like, that's not naturally who I am. And how many times have you heard someone excuse themselves? Yeah. Well, that's just not my gift. What? It's not a gift. It's a command. And, well, that's not my personality. That's not how I was raised. And I get that. And that makes it a struggle. But that's why it takes the Spirit of God to transform us into what we're reading in the Bible. Amen. Okay? I may not ever be as gentle as some people, but I can be gentler than I was. Yeah. I may not be as long-suffering. I've gotten better at it. I got a ways to go. Pray for me. As patient. I mean, we whine about a fast food line. You know, remember the fast food they used to put like a timer there? If you don't have your food in a minute and a half, and it's like a minute and 40 seconds, it's like, hey, what's going on here? It's like a minute and 40 seconds. Really? We're in that much of a hurry? And don't get on the freeway. I have learned something in my driving in California, and I'll give this to you. It's a free tip. And you probably shouldn't listen to it. When you're going to change lanes and there's traffic, don't put your turn signal on. What happens? The other car sees you're going to come in a lane, they speed up so you can't. Yeah. It's one thing that's good about having an electric car. You can beat people off the punch anytime you want. But, right? It's like you lose your salvation. You get up, oh, we're going to have a great day at work today, driving to the office, and you get on the freeway, and it's like, I'm a mess. I got to get some more coffee in me, okay? Yeah. Why? Because that stuff's not natural to us. But you know what? It can become natural to us. As we're in the Word of God and we're open to what God wants, the Spirit of God takes that and He makes it in our life. The Bible can do many great things. We'll stop there for today. But the Bible, there's one thing the Bible can't do. It can't force itself upon you. You don't get up in the morning, your Bible doesn't scream at you. Like, hey, cowboy, I'm over here. We doing this today? It doesn't do that. You've got to make time for it. You've got to be committed to it. You can come to church. You can go to the Christian school. You can go to the college. You can be faithful to the service. You can look right. You can come to Tuesday soul winning. You could come on Saturday. You can drive a bus. You can drive a bus. And you could drive a bus. The Spirit gave me utterance tonight. I felt God telling me to say that. You can do all those things and still be disattached from the foundation. See, the foundation's a big thing. And that's why the Bible's important. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the night. We thank you for your word. Without your word, Lord, we would be a mess. But Father, I wonder how easy it is for us in this Bible-rich society in which we live to ignore it. Sometimes it almost seems like those who lived in the dark ages and had to fight to get a Bible did better than we did. I pray, Father, that you would help us not to take neglect of the Scripture because of the abundance of the Scripture and the teaching which we receive. And I pray that you'd help us to be dedicated and committed to placing our lives in the hands of you through your word. Bless now till we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.